Hello, welcome to the latest Far Off Places podcast. I'm Annie Rutherford, I'm one of the editors at the magazine, and I'm really quite excited about what we've got coming up today. Far Off Places features poetry and short prose which likes to peek down rabbit holes and peer through keyholes. Today we'll be hearing the gorgeous story, Through the Woolly Woods, by Sarah Miles. You can find the story in our second issue, The Back of Beyond, so if you like what you hear, go to faroffplaces.org to read more. And now, if you're sitting comfortably, then we'll begin. Through the Woolly Woods. When I was a child, my family would often visit my grandfather at his home a few hours' drive north of ours. A journey of interminable length to my young self, always undertaken in the cosily cramped back of our mustard-yellow VW camper van amongst precarious piles of duffel bags, a cheerful explosion of toys, and two increasingly restive and pungent dogs. Once we arrived, though, this trial was forgotten, and my brother and I would escape into the welcome embrace of grandparental indulgence. That house was always an idyll for us then, and the memory remains so for me now. A place where the travails of reality didn't intrude, and where extraordinary things were the norm. There was a vast garden where fruits and vegetables became more coveted than sweets by virtue of having been pulled from the earth or plucked from a growing tree by small fingers. In summer, blackberry stems groaned under the weight of sun-warmed sweet fruit, and yet bore no scratching thorns. In autumn, the pumpkin patch produced giant jack-o'-lanterns of Cinderella-like proportions, bigger by far than our young selves. We were dwarfed, too, by the dahlias that grew into a towering forest, in which a girl could become lost, wandering through a maze of leafy green with brilliant flowers larger than her head, nodding down at her. The greenhouse boasted tomato vines which always bore huge fruits, entirely unlike the styrofoam spheres found in supermarkets, but which occasionally, on days when my brother and I were sent out with scissors and pail, bore lemons and limes as well. It was a place where nothing, especially not the genuinely mundane, was allowed to be simply ordinary. Where a girl might arrive and find a doll's house awaiting her, perfect in every minute detail, with shingled roof, working lights, and a kitchen with the same linoleum as in the beloved house. Where hospitals were strange resorts in which the only inconvenience was a perverse insistence by the staff on the eating of jelly. Where leather armchairs were inverted to become child-sized slides. And where ginger ale, placed in hollow-stemmed crystal glasses, became champagne. However, for all the familiar magic of the house and garden, nothing fascinated me quite like the less certain, wilder sights to be found just outside their borders, beyond the backyard. Next to my grandfather's house was an empty lot, which he owned but had allowed to remain wild when he and my grandmother cleared the first property and built their home. But I didn't know this until later. At the time, I knew it simply as the Woolly Wood. And to my young self, The undisturbed forest was woolly indeed, with old-growth firs and spruces, huge ferns, and a dense, ever-present carpet of dried, prickly needles underfoot. Although the wood was scary, it was worth braving its depths, because through the woolly wood was the cougar trail, a path which switched back down the bluff on which the house perched high above the sea. The path was steep enough that an incautious foot could slip, and overgrowing bushes offered scratching thorns, as well as hidden, bright berries. But although even after all of this, there was still a log retaining wall to clamber down, and a drainage ditch to ford, all was worth it, because at the end of the cougar trail was the beach. Most beaches in the area were rocky, but this was a vast, glittering expanse of sand, whose gentle sun-warmed slope heated the frigid water as it rose, making it possible to swim, and to swim longer than anyone would think possible in the Canadian Pacific. My brother and I spent endless days there, year after year, working with trowel, spade, and hands, as we erected towering fortresses of sand in a Sisyphean battle against the tide. Each time, we raised our castles higher and expanded our defences outwards in concentric rings of ever higher walls and ever deeper moats, convinced each time that today, this time, we would triumph and our fortress would withstand the rising tide. But comforted, even as we patched crumbling walls with handfuls of liquefying sand, baled floating moats and felt our proud towers dissolving into the lapping waves beneath our hands. With the certainty of baths, biscuits, warm towels, stories and hot cocoa, just up the bluff, back up the cougar trail, and through the woolly woods. Now that I'm grown, I can look back with an understanding of the realities underlying the rosy memories. I understand that twist ties make remarkably serviceable lemon stalks, that jelly is the least of your concerns on an oncology ward, and that, when the war has left you nearly blind, the gluing of toy-sized shingles is very difficult indeed. There are some things which are ruined by understanding. Peeking behind the curtain bursts the spell. But not this. Instead, rather than marvelling at magic lemons, I find myself fully grasping the conscious choice and the force of will with which my grandfather created this world for us. That is a lesson I will always remember. And always remembering to marvel. There is something extraordinary to be found in the least promising of places, if you look. And if you can't see it, make it. To live that way is an act of will. Canadian with the good fortune to have misplaced herself in Edinburgh, Sarah Miles spends her days doing doctoral research on scientific things entirely unrelated to creative writing. When not doing so, she likes to spend her time doing things entirely unrelated to that, exploring countries, cities, markets, books, and the dark recesses of her thoroughly unlikely house. That's us for today, my lovelies, but never fear, Both The Back of Beyond and our first issue on Fairy Tales Retold are available via our website, faroffplaces.org, so there are plenty more whimsical words out there to keep you going until next week. We're also accepting submissions for issue 3 on the theme of Under the Bed until the 14th of July, so do send your scribbles our way. Meanwhile, you can keep up to date with our bad jokes and nonsensical ramblings on Twitter at Far Off Places and on Facebook. But for now, good night and good luck.